words are very powerful, aren't they? Remember, I think I was maybe 10 years old walking down the sidewalk to my grandma's house, and my aunt was next to me, and she looks at my feet, and she's like, "Boy, you have small feet." I was 10. That stuck with me forever. Stupidest thing. But it's not up to us on what we say is stupid. It's to the person that receives it, to how they feel, right? If we say we're stupid, we'll say it without a filter and hurt someone and have no idea the impact. 30 years later, hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of shoes that I kind of always bought a little bigger. We laugh, but she hurt me. We hurt people. Whether we mean to or not, we hurt people. It's somewhat of a segue. Tonight's message is on, are we creating value in people? Are we creating value in people? In Romans 14:19 in the ESV, it says, "So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding." King James says, "Wherewith one may edify one another." Are we building people up? Or do we look back in a timeline and maybe us have been hurt? Or do we use our words to hurt people? Do we seek to build others up? Or do we seek to criticize? Isn't it easy to criticize people? If you're ever at a loss for something, how about that weather? Or this or that, it's just so easy to complain. Are we criticizing? Do we seek to strengthen or are we weakening people? What are we saying? The verse says, "In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin." I was listening to that allegory I told you about several months ago, and one of the things that they pointed out that we know, we will be judged for every idle word we say. Everything. About our pastor behind closed doors. I've heard children talk about our pastor. They didn't get it from themselves. They got it from their parents. What are we saying? It's a very valuable lesson. That's not really the direction my message was going, but with the time we have and what was shared, are we watching our words? Are they bringing life? Are they bringing joy? Are they bringing an uplifting, even in a down time? The heaviest heart needs the most joy. It doesn't need another stone to add to it to weight it down. Are we building others up or are we tearing them down? Are we coming alongside people or are we casting judgment upon them? Not that we can't address things that are wrong. I'm not saying that we just let things go. But we have to give the truth in love, right? It's not truth. Truth can be 100% right. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13. We can do everything in the world and have all the power of the Holy Spirit in the world, but have nothing if it's not done with that love that God gives. What is value? It's something that creates an importance, something that has importance, something that's beneficial, something that's better, something that's excellent. And this is what Christ sought to do in us, right? Right? Did he not come to create value? If we reverse engineer and kind of uncover everything, he came because he saw value in us. I do not turn around and go back for something if it's useless. I go back for something if it has value. Jesus came to us because we have value. Not because of what we've done. I had to conquer that in my head. I knew it academically. I could preach it. I did preach it. But I didn't know it in my heart. So I worked it out. Not to the degree of work out your salvation. I was working out truly my salvation. I was saved because of my good works. Aha. But that's what I did. And how often do we get stuck in that rut? And if we are stuck in that rut, we will deliver that message to other people. And we pass on that curse. That just as Israel was never going to be able to satisfy the law. And the Pharisees, they said, you make twice the, or seven times whatever, those that they were trying to oppress them, others with the law. God sought to give value. We know John 3:16, but if we really think about it, for God so loved the world. You who have kids, would you give your son for someone who truly despised you? Would you give your son for them, your daughter? We don't know. I'll save you the Peter temptation or trial. We don't know. But God saw value in us to truly give his own son. This is not a salvation message, but we have to realize the depth of that. Jesse after 30 years, me after so many years, knowing that God is a father that loves us. If we don't get that one fundamental principle, we will have a very challenging walk with the Lord. Because we will be waiting for him to... What are you doing? I got in an accident once. My father didn't raise me. I flipped. The motorcycle flipped end over end, threw me one way. He was more concerned about the snowmobile, sorry, than me. How does that make one feel? How would that make you feel? We need to know that God the Father is first going to come to us. He cares. We have to know somehow, and that's a spiritual level thing individually, that he cares. That we have value. He's created us for a purpose. He does not create garbage. We have to know that. Luke 19:10, Christ came to seek and save the lost. Again, he saw value in us. Psalm 39, Psalm, I believe it's 139, 17 and 18. It says, how precious are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they'd be more than the sand. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I don't fully grasp that, but it's a wonderful thought for him to unfold in our lives that he has great thoughts toward us. If we would be able to receive that and see past the lies that the enemy brings, that you went too far, you've done too much. We'll share a story about that at the end. Romans 5:8, God showed his love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm stating fundamental things, foundational things, because sometimes we forget the foundation and become so doctrinally focused we forget to keep the main thing the main thing. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another and build one another up. Are we encouraging each other? A smile, saying hi to a stranger walking out the door, but they might think it's weird. But you don't know what they're going through, and it might touch them. And someone to us, or whatever it is, a word. We have to practice things, we have to learn, we might mess up, don't do that again, do that again. Whatever it is, but are we being an encouragement to each other? Are we seeing the value in one another? In Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37, we see the account of the Good Samaritan. Two godly men justified walking by a man dying on the side of the road. And somehow they rationalized it. It was okay. Godly people. We wouldn't do that. That's other godly people. Do we need to... Testing? Okay. Do we do that, though? Do we justify the way we treat people? One reason this message came to me is I recently became aware of a young man who left his two little children, about my kid's age, left his ministry, called the pastor and said, I'm done, out of the blue, left his wife a note, and went and moved in with another girl. And I don't know why, and I've never had a problem, and I've never really gotten bitter, but that really bothered me. Really bothered me, and I really don't have a deep relationship with these people, but it bothered me. To the point where I know all the points of this for the most part, and when I would drive by that person's house, I'd be like, I'd like to stop and tell them what I think. Not in a screaming way, but I could tell them doctrine and explain it. What good would it do? He was in ministry. He probably does know what he's doing is wrong. But what value would it create if I did that? Who here looks up to King David? What did he do? Why on earth would I look up to him but not to this other person? He's less than that. He's done less. He is better than what David did, if we're taking score, keeping score. Who here looks up to the Apostle Paul? I do. What did he do? And I think we put these people on pedestals when we forget we are not their judge. We can judge. We can say what you're doing is wrong. We can deal with things. But if it's not in love, in the point to create value in them, in us, among each other, are we creating value amongst us? Are we being a family? Not a broken one, but one that's working on becoming whole. Value is created by saying what the Spirit says, not solely what we observe. Value is created by saying what the Spirit says, not solely what we observe. 2 Corinthians 3:6. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So when we go to people, when we say things, are we encouraging them? And we might need our eyes open to, maybe we've done things some way so long that we don't even think about it, we just do it. But I'm brought back to every time, well, the accounts we read about David, he didn't assume the same battle plan just because he won the last time. He went to the Lord again. Hence, going to the Spirit. What is the Spirit saying about this? Pastor Bailey one time, it says in Jude 22 and 23, sometimes with compassion, sometimes with fear, that we address things. The ultimate end to create value in that person, to cause them to continue and go on upward in God. But Pastor Bailey, I always remember that story of where he was in a Bible school. There was three young men that were on drugs. They got miraculously saved. They came to Bible school. They kept talking about their situation. And he said, I really don't think you should be doing that. They continued on. Young man went home, fell into drugs, came back. Pastor Bailey was on his way to reprimand him and tell him what he had done. And just before he got to the door, the Lord said, do not yell at him. And that man is now over a very large church. But if he would have handled that a different way, what would have happened? Pastor Billy was human. Was he operating out of what he thought? It was incorrect. He was correct in the situation. Or are we seeking the Lord saying, how do I handle this? Yes, it's wrong. Yes, you deal with the situation, but how do you deal with the situation? How are we handling those different areas at the workplace, in our home life, in our extended family life? How are we handling those situations to make the relationship or whatever the situation is fruitful or creating that value? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. It says, for by grace you are saved through faith, not this of your own, but the gift of God. So we look at these people that are having issues, whether in the church, whether not in the church, whether in the workplace, whatever it is. But how often do we forget that we were them? And would you want to be treated the way you treat people? Would you want someone to witness to you the same way you witness to people? Maybe you would. I don't know. But those are the things we have to ask. How are we coming across? How are we presenting? Are we just smashing people over the head, or are we offering them something? Giving them the option of seeing truth. Yes, they can't deny it. Ours is to give it, Theirs is to choose if they receive it. We can't cram it down there. Throw it as much as we would want to, or maybe more nicely put, Pastor Bailey would like to carry us all in his arms into heaven. But we have to walk across that line. In Ephesians 2:12, it says, remember that you were at times separated from Christ. But we felt that value, hopefully. And this goes back to Jesse and what he had said. We didn't work this out. But there was something missing. He knew the Lord loved him. But we weren't feeling it. Something was missing. There was a disconnect. Was it out of fear? Was it out of, well, a few different things? Well, my friends were going up and I was wondering and I did want to commit, but then, and a lot of factors play into our relationship with God. But we have to, as we said in the beginning, have that right understanding of who He is and what a kind Father He is and how much He cares for us. John Bevere was speaking at a pastor's funeral in Detroit, Michigan years ago. This pastor had a huge church, a huge ministry. And it came time for John Bevere to get up and give what he was going to share. And he stood up and he said, you know, since everyone else shared, he goes, I thought I was his best friend. Everyone else just said what a best friend he was. And he goes, but you know what? He made you feel when you were with him like you were his best friend. And he said, you know why? He said, because you were. At that point in time, he created and had a value because he realized you were God's creation. This man ministered to the streets of Detroit, to over the nations. I believe very influential people. He had thousands of people, I believe, at his funeral. He created value of some sort that had this drawing for people to come. Hopefully a reflection of the value that we're giving people, not flattery, but that we're showing people that you do mean something. Your life is worth more than what we are just perhaps living at the moment. The parable of the ungrateful debtor. You know, sometimes when we see value that God gives us, we can have an inflated ego. And that can make us not really transmit value into others. This man, we know the story, was forgiven a humongous amount of money. I mean, it was no way on earth he would ever be able to pay this back. Why that was ever lent in this analogy, I don't know, because of the size of it. But he was forgiven. Completely debt wiped away. Walks out, finds someone else, chokes him, throws him into prison, and says, you can get out, kids sold when you're, you know, it's when you paid my debt. What value was created there? Now, no, we don't do that, but what are we doing when we witness, when we talk to people, not even witnessing, just our normal conversation? Is it flattery? Is it behind what I'm saying that there's another river, another current flowing? So the question is then, how do we create value? Our attitude, our actions, and our words. When someone's talking to you, is your mind, well, I got to get to the lunch line, and don't ask me about if you need an investment because you can call me Monday, or this or that, or you know, my kids are running over here, and yes, those things are all there, but we have to learn to focus our mind and create value to the one that, sure, you shape that conversation. You know what? Forgive me. I'm so sorry. Can we talk in about 15 minutes? I just got to go. My kid just ran out and he's got a knife. Whatever, but let the person know you mean something. My clients value it. When I called one client one time, and she lauded that forever. You know, every time she, you know, he just called me up, asked me how things were going, this, that, and the other. It meant something. And it doesn't have to be about God that you're creating value in someone. But God is good. Everything in Him is good. His punctuality, His cleanliness, His timeliness, His all those things. So what we're doing in life is creating this ever-flowing thought of, are we creating value? True love creates value. 1 Corinthians 13. I'll wrap up shortly. Bear with me. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, say it in layman's terms, if I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. How are our words? What are we saying to people? What are we saying about people? To them or behind their back? What are we saying? Words are huge. Attitude. Do we mean it? If we say it and don't mean it, there's no reward. And we can read this, and I'd encourage us to read it and just use it as a checklist to see, am I creating value in my brothers and sisters in the world? People that I'm interfacing with once, or have a continual relationship? I recently listened to, just to wrap up, a story recently. The man's name is Dimas Salaverios. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of him. He had the title of Street God. He was a drug dealer. A premier drug dealer, top of the line. I mean, he was utmost successful. And at age 11, he saw a movie that was about drugs. And he said at that point, now, he was very demonically influenced. And at age 11, his goal was to be the biggest drug dealer in New York City. At age 11, he started selling lesser drugs. 13, got into crack. Not so much taking it, but selling it. And this man, he goes through a whole story. Father, captain of corrections in the prison. Mother, a principal. So not just a run-of-the-mill gangbanger, if you will. But through his life, I mean, he just shows an amazing transformation. At one point, he gets caught. He beat a bunch of different raps because of his father's position. And at one point, the police, he was walking down the road, and the police stop him. And he's like, I'm actually innocent right now. He goes, I ain't got nothing on me. So they jump out of the car, six cop cars. They had a drug dealer in the car, took the drugs off him, shoved it in his pocket, and said, beat this. And he's like, I was actually innocent, and here I am, and he couldn't beat it. So they take him down to the jail. He's on the fifth floor, and they basically book him. He had a few other things that happened during this time. They said, you're going to jail. He had already been to Rikers Island once. This was his second time. He's like, I'm not going back there. So he slowly slipped the cuffs up in front of him, and he's like, told them, I'm not going back there, and he ran. Jumped down five flights of stairs. Jump, 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 and then he's like, I always knew there was a cop at the bottom of the steps. Big cop. So he goes, ready to take him out, and he wasn't there, and he goes, praise God! He goes, I wasn't even a Christian! So he runs, beats it, runs down to North Carolina, lives down there, starts his operation up again, is going back and forth, shipping drugs and guns back and forth. One of the drug dealers that he was competing with had a girlfriend that was a witch. He wakes up on the road, unmarked car that they use to transport drugs, and this car is honking next to him. He looks over, and it's this witch. Didn't know how they found him. Gets to the city. She jumps out of a corner and grabs him. Did this weird thing on his arm. He just pulled his arm away and said, get off me. Started going back home. All he saw was red, was trying to kill himself for 3 days, and thought it was Moses, and was acting insane. So he calls his mom. He's like, Mom, I need help. She goes, find a church. He's like, I need real help. Slams the phone down. Finally, yada, yada, yada. Three women pray for him. He finally went. They said, can we pray for you? He said, sure. He goes, I didn't know what was going on. He goes, they're saying in Jesus' name and saying, get out of him. And he goes, the peace that came over me. He goes, I was taking crack out of my pockets. I was dumping it out. I was throwing it. I was going to read it to you. I can't even list. He's ministered on every continent except Antarctica. He has a humongous ministry. This man is on fire for God. He's smuggling Bibles. He's working deals with governments to get prisoners released out of Arab nations that are being charged as Christians, and even having people to be willing to go back and serve out their sentence. This man's life has been changed because of value. His life had value. At one point, he went back and said, I am going to turn myself in. He went to the judge and said, I turned myself in. A bunch of cops that were actually in the church he was going to wrote him letters. The judge said, get out of my courtroom right now. So they took him back to jail. Finally called him back in and she said, I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm letting you go. She goes, Rikers Island would turn you back into what you were. What God is doing in your life has changed you. Let him continue. And he's gone on to change this world for God because of value. The value. We seem to sometimes have the market on who is of value in God material, I think. But this street God status drug lord was changed. He had to do it. He had to walk it out. We always know that. But he changed because of value. What value? Who are we writing off? Who are we taking under our wing that God is calling us to? Let's see people. Lord, help us to see people as he does. That we have a heart that he does. And that's gradual. That's, I think, step by step. But Lord, let us see for ourselves that we have value. That if we're willing to surrender, he had to surrender. It was a step-by-step process for him. But as he did that, the Lord created something in him. Hope that's an encouragement to you. As a church, let's watch our words. Let's watch our attitudes. Let's watch our actions. And let's be people that create value and people and not tear down, directly or indirectly. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your patience.